Good morning and welcome to MTSU On the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Today we're talking about the internationalization of MTSU, which has been in progress for quite some time in a variety of ways, but which is really coming to fruition now with partnerships with institutions of higher learning in countries all around the world, and the welcoming of international students to campus and making them feeling fully integrated into not only the curriculum but also the social fabric of the campus community. And here to talk with us about it today is the coordinator for the Office of International Education, Ms. Rong Wang. We're going to talk about a great diversity of things, some of which were in place before Rong started, but some of which she is instituting as part of her new job. And Rong, welcome. This is the first time we've had a chance to talk on the radio. We've seen each other at other events, but thank you for coming and talking with us today. Can you just give, first of all, sort of a, you've been on the job about a year or less than a year? Give me just a brief job description of how you see your role and your mission.
Okay. And the mainly of job is administration work for the provost, and as well, I trying to host the visiting scholars and students, which actually before we don't have an office to host these two groups. And also my office hosts the international delegations and visitors, like I've coordinator and arrange with the department relevant offices to welcome, give like campus tour for the visiting scholars.
Hospitality goes a long way. It helps to be very welcoming and friendly and just not leave your visitors kind of hanging out
there. Yes, right. And also since I started, we have the new program called Welcome Receiving International Students and Scholars, which we have airport pickup housing arrangement. For the airport pickup, we recruit faculty, administrator, staff, volunteers. And we try to get our MTSU volunteers, faculty members, get involved in the internationalization and welcome international students. And at the same time, make the students feel welcome. It's a very friendly campus.
Picking people up at the airport may seem like a little thing, but it isn't really because of the time zones. You know, people come in at all hours of the day and night.
I remember I arranged someone who came after midnight, and there's like you have to arrange for the house because the manager all gone, and you have to be someone to be there, you know, help them to even find a hotel, because mm-hmm. it's brand new here. They know nothing. There's no public transportation,
and they might not realize that the campus is in Murfreesboro, the airport is in Nashville.
I know, but yeah, and you know, they don't have cars, most of the international students,
right?
You know.
And not the money to rent them either.
Sure.
But what else is part of your mission in your job?
And also, like we do, currently maintain and further develop the joint degree program with our partner universities, which we offer more education opportunities for international students who would like to study here for 1 year or two. And if they meet the MTSU requirements, degree requirements, they will get an MTSU degree.
Now, we have partner universities in People's Republic of China, Japan, Thailand,
yep.
Brazil,
Russian,
France. Just a few of the countries with which we have relationships in their institutions of higher learning. And there's a lot that goes into trying to establish those relationships, because I know from my talking to Dr. Kiyoshi Kawahito when he ran the Japan Center that not all institutions abroad necessarily match up semester year to semester year. The academic year or the academic calendar is not necessarily the same. So you have to work with the institution
exactly.
on making sure that that works for the student who's trying to accumulate credit hours.
Yeah, for example, like in China, we don't have summer session.
Right.
So students start the spring semester in March, and the spring semester will end in June or the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
And the fall semester will start yearly in September and end probably in January. So which is quite different here. And you have to work on the schedule as well as curriculum.
Right.
That's another part we are trying to incorporation of the international curriculum, our courses here.
That, right. How fluent in English would you say the international students who come to MTSU are before they get here? Just generally speaking, I know it varies from individual to individual.
Yeah, generally speaking, you know, all the students who come here, even including visiting students, they have to pass the TOEFL or IELTS, the test.
The test of English as a foreign language.
Yes, and that's make sure they have the basic levels to understand the college level classes. kids. Mm-hmm. And like in China, even in elementary school right now, students are required to study English as a second
language. So they'll have a head start.
Yes. And I believe in the future, their English will be better and better.
Now, when it comes to making sure that international students are continuing to feel integrated into the social fabric of the university, not just getting them through or walking them through the academic bureaucracy,
right.
which can be difficult enough for a freshman who's lived in America all his or her life, what sorts of services are there available to help that student become better acclimated to just getting around and being able to socialize and take advantage of cultural opportunities?
You know, very beginning, when students arrive on campus, we have the orientation, which actually covers everything, including how to get a driving lesson, how to get your social security number, as well as we talk about cultural shock. But the issue is, as soon as after the orientation for about 3 hours, students most time on their own. That's what we don't want to see, because I was an international student before, and I know how when you get like homesick, you have cultural shock, and you feel you're on your own, you feel lonely.
You don't have anybody to talk to about
exactly.
even how you feel.
Yeah, that's why what we're trying to do right now is we will have offer free calls, which is zero credits, no charge, and open to the public. And this calls mainly about talking about cultures, including help the international student to learn American culture, get adjusted to the new life here. And this will be a one semester. And it's a really option. We will come open to the public, and it depends on students if they want to come. So it's really option one. But we have a very successful similar course before, which is Dr. Ryan Otter from biology. He had a similar course before. And very beginning, about 10 students showed up. At the end of the semester, about 100 students. Because, you know, the international students, they will tell their peers, their friends,
right.
you know, to come together.
It's sort of an informal network.
Exactly. Because, you know, you find it's very useful, very helpful. And you will come here to learn, to make new friends as well.
Yeah.
And it's a thing, you know, it's also open to the American students. So American students also will come. And it's very a friendly cause, very friendly environment.
Right. With regard to how they get integrated into the academic environment, are there certain adjustments that they have to make in the classroom? That are the certain differences between the American style of instruction or the American university bureaucracy and the American teaching bureaucracy in the institution that they came from? Not necessarily that all of them would be transferring. Some of them might be going here first. But do they ever get into the classroom and then tell you, boy, that's not what I was expecting?
It happened before. One thing we have to keep in mind is the education systems is just different, very different countries. Like China and U.S. are different. And I was invited to different classes and talk to our students about the education system, higher education system China. And students can learn it's very different. So it's same for our international students. So that's why I hope, you know, one thing is for, I call educate our faculty members, which I let them to know there's a difference. And but, you know, the international students are all selected. They are willing to come. That means they are willing to study. But there's maybe differences that the faculty members need just and to maybe pay more attention. But I really, for myself, I feel very, I was very friendly. And after my class, and the faculty members came to me and asked if I speak too fast, stop or ask any question. And that's very helpful. And I believe very beginning, all hard for everyone. But when you stay longer, it will be better.
Yeah. There are so many different aspects of international education on this campus. There's global studies with Dr. Doug Heffington.
Yes.
There's MT Abroad, run by Rhonda Waller. There is Tech Whoopney's office, which helps people with immigration and naturalization paperwork type issues. There is Intercultural, the Office of Intercultural and Diversity Affairs, run by Vincent Windrow.
Mm-hmm.
So many different aspects of international education. And then there are the agreements with institutions abroad, which have been pieced together in different ways by different people, Dr. Kawahito, Dr. McPhee, Dr. Spires, all these people. How do we unify and bring international education together all under one kind of umbrella?
I'm glad you mentioned this one. Actually, as soon as I started, our provost mentioned and asked me to put in a list of all the partner universities, as well as which year we signed the MOU or MOA, and how long it lasts, and if it's required renew, and very detailed information. So currently I have the data of all our international institute partners, and we have a IEEC committee, which is a standing committee called International Education and Exchange Committee, and which is meet like every month. And this committee will mainly discuss partners, faculty-led program, students exchange, as well as including how to welcome international students offering the courses.
And these are mostly faculty and administrators on
this
committee?
This is a representative from different colleges and from different departments. Yes.
Are most international students basic and applied sciences majors, or are they spread across the disciplines now?
Right now, I believe it's spread. Actually, we currently have students who major in Chinese and come here to study English because she wants to go back to her country and teach Chinese and English as a second. So, yeah, we have like mass communication, music education, and spread of different disciplines.
What about our own Department of Foreign Languages and Literatures? We've added some languages to that as well. For teaching people here, we've had Hebrew, we've had Arabic,
Russian, Chinese, Japanese, yes.
So we're also, at the same time, we're welcoming international students here. The interaction between them and the American students is preparing American students to be able to go abroad and study abroad and get their own taste of what education is like overseas, right?
Yeah, like currently I'm going to send 4 American students to China with a full scholarship, and they are actually all taking Chinese classes on campus in a foreign language department with Dr. Jun Da. Yes, and that's actually a full scholarship I want to mention today is to our MTSU students, which this scholarship is a full scholarship. It's called Han Ban, Confucius Institute Scholarship. It's covered by the Chinese government, and it will pay your tuition, insurance, accommodation, as well as with a monthly stipend.
And this is for how long? Is this a 1 year or a full 4 years?
It actually right now has 1 semester and 1 year.
Okay.
It's a language program. And actually also if you graduate from MTSU, you still can apply for this scholarship to get a degree in China, a master degree in China.
Is this it's a language degree then, or is it a degree in any discipline that the
student... In different disciplines, for example, Chinese history, cultural studies. So, yeah, it's different.
China has really come to the fore in recent years, not only at MTSU, but the American consciousness of China has really grown exponentially in the last several years. Talk about that a little bit and why our relationship with China seems to be forever growing and changing.
I mean, I'm a Chinese.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, when they meet me, they always talk about the Chinese economy, Chinese growth right now, which is very true. China grows very fast. And there are small Chinese students want to come west to experience a higher education. And that's why we have a lot of partnerships right now. A lot of students are willing to come. And that's also why we established the joint degree program, because students are qualified. As I told you, in China, elementary students already require English as a second language. So when students are actually going to college, their language already being prepared to meet the American, the English test. So that's the first level. Students are prepared. And the second one is U.S., everyone knows that they have very strong higher education system, very strong higher education, and they have very good opportunity. They have good the education resources. So people want to come to get the best education. And I mean, not just China, it's including everywhere, Japan, South Korea, same. So, but you know, China has a large population.
Right.
So there's a large group of students available. They are willing to come.
Is money ever an issue when we're talking about bringing international students over here or sending our students over there? Are there students who can afford it better than others? Or are there enough opportunities for financial aid to help students achieve their goals?
I want to say probably half of the students have no problem to afford the tuition here. And some students, you know, we have scholarships or assistantship, actually very, very helpful from the school. And this give the qualified international students to achieve their goals.
You know, it's become something of a canard in this country, maybe even a stereotype, that that different Asian cultures place so much of a premium on education that the degree to which the Asian students work at their education and the emphasis they put on it puts American students to shame and makes them look lazy. Is that fair, or is that overblown?
Well, as you said, it's kind of stereotype.
Yeah.
So which not 100% true. But generally speaking, speaking, I believe Asian students study harder, and as well, they actually collaboratively study with each other. I remember I heard a lecture from a Harvard professor that she mentioned there's like a experiment about Asian studies, student studies, as well American. And they find out that Asian students like to study as a group, while American students like to study independently, which is a cultural difference. As you know, American emphasize individualism,
right,
while Asian countries more collab. So actually, I recommend our American students here that study with your group, discuss and share, and you can learn from each other, which actually will improve yourself.
Do you think that American students are becoming more collaborative the more interaction they have with the international students?
I believe so, because like, for example, we have intercultural communications. This class actually requires our American students to work with an individual international student by interview, by discussion, and study their culture. This is actually kind of in a way to push you talk to international students, learn their culture, as well as work with each other, even if you have a different cultural background.
Were you well-traveled abroad before you came here to MTSU, I mean, outside of China and different places around the world? Had you had an opportunity to go to different countries?
No, but I think I will. Why not is because actually, as soon as I graduated from China, I got my bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. I came here right away. I even didn't have like a vacation or something. So I started to work here as soon as I graduated from study.
And your major was what?
My major was in China. It actually is English language and literature. So I learned English. And I came here to study mass communication because I'm really attracted to the communication, all we call the media, the freedom of media speech here.
Now, the Confucius Institute this past semester, in conjunction with the College of Mass Communication, co-sponsored the Chinese Film Festival, where the four films made by Chinese directors and producers were shown in MassCom on Sunday nights with English subtitles. MassCom has been doing this for a while, but this is the first year they've partnered with the Confucius Institute on it. Let's use that as a jumping off point to talk about the power of the mass media to bring international students and American students and professors closer together.
As I said, I learned mass communication because what I really enjoyed about the media and technology. And I totally agree with you. This is a very good approach for our American students as well as international students come together. For example, the English film presentation, the Chinese film presentation. It actually, after the film, there's a discussion going on. So American students, if you don't understand the culture, you don't understand, you know, what's going on, and you can ask and you can talk, you can express yourself. And that's actually give an opportunity, not just watch a movie and then you're done. Actually give you opportunity to learn the culture. And we will have the Chinese students or Chinese faculty available to answer your questions, discuss with you. So I really hope in the future we will have different countries, film presentation like India or European countries.
What's your take on how American students here at MTSU of all ethnicities have adapted to the growing internationalization of the campus, both in terms of the faculty and the students that we have here from other countries?
First, like we said, we started to get our faculty involved, welcome international students. And talking about students, we hope we will implement like American students partners with international students one by one. This is to help each other, help international students sure to get used to the new life here, as well as it will give our American students an opportunity to learn, talk to international students, to lose customers.
Are you finding that this generation of students, the millennials, as some people in the media are tabbing them, feel more open and more free and more accepting than perhaps some people of prior generations who might have a little baggage to carry with them or might be?
I believe, yes, I believe. Actually, when I was invited to different classes and I gave a presentation about cultural difference as well as higher education, and you can't believe how many questions the students have. They are very interested in learning your culture. They ask me all kinds of questions. I'm very happy to see this one because this is really prepare our American students that the global competence, because you have to be prepared to see the world, which is open up the whole universe. And that's why I help our students, not just I remember I read like an article they're talking about the feeling of employment abroad about American people, which is the first one, which means they cannot get used to, there's no air conditioner, or I need some cold water. So that's why we help them learn different cultures. This really will prepare them future.
We shouldn't even really have to explain why the internationalization of the campus is necessary, but talk a little bit, if you would, about how globalization is really the way of everything today, not only culture, but international commerce, international politics and diplomacy. You cannot be provincial or single-minded about staying stuck in one place if you want to progress. This is a whole sea change from certainly my grandparents' generation and even in a way my parents' generation.
Yeah, actually, there's a joke actually saying being a president of U.S., you have to speak at least two languages, which is English and Chinese. Why? Because you have to sign, you know, whatever in English, while you need to talk your debit collectors in Chinese. And, I mean, people talk about it. You can see how important it is U.S. as a country interact with different countries all over the world, China or Iraq or wherever. And if you are just a closed mind, you don't want to open yourself, you don't want to learn a second language, you don't care about the other cultures, you will be competed by, defended by someone else who are bilingual, who know a different, who has experience about different cultures.
You'll be beaten out for a job that you're applying
exactly
for.
I gave an example to the students. I said, let's talk about Nissan. They may want a bilingual, can speak English and Chinese and Japanese. And what if you cannot? What if you never work abroad? What if you don't know nothing about Japan? And they may not hire you. They will hire someone who's bilingual. So that's very competitive. It's just one example. And you can see how our business, economy, including education, interact with the international or different countries globally.
And I think the changing of the labor force in Middle Tennessee has even forced people to take a different look at internationalization, because when I was growing up as a child, there were basically only two ethnicities of people in your immediate orbit, Caucasian and African American. We had not yet seen a substantial influx of Hispanic workers, virtually no one of Asian heritage, not even in the small towns, anyone who happened to be of the Jewish community, and very few people even from, let's say, you know, the United Kingdom, Australia. There was just no reason for them to come to a small town in the South. Now everything is very different. It's all of the boundaries are breaking down, and it is a much, much better flow of different types of people into this community, and they've been here for a substantial enough period of time that they feel like they are part of the community now. They don't feel like the outsider who just got here and is still trying to find their way.
You know, MTSU has international students and visiting scholars from 80 different countries. 80. So that's, you can imagine how diversity here.
It is. And MTSU, of course, is not just walled off like the campus community exists exclusive of Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. What types of social activities off campus are there for international students? Are there ways for them to, when they're not studying and concentrating on that, to check out the social scene off campus?
Actually, you know, we have an office called International Student Service Office. They always organize like ethnic restaurant day or also a day trip like to Chattanooga and some clothes. As well as we have the community, actually the Murfreesboro community, there they have like a free dinner opportunities every week by Tuesday. And a lot of international students I find go over there and they practice English. It's American students. They have enjoyed dinner together. They share, you know, whatever they have, their life here, their difficulties, their happiness, their homesick, cultural shock. So that's one part of off-campus where students can. And we have, you know, the cultural event week. We try to organize that one for our present different countries' cultures. And that's also another optional. Students have a social event.
And there are also student organizations, official student organizations here at MTSU that operate under the auspices of the university itself for students, international students. students and then different students from different countries as well.
Yeah, like for example, the Chinese one called CCSE. CSSE is a very big local Chinese community, and we keep in touch on the internet. It's like a group. And when someone need help or when someone send out a message, and everyone in the community will receive it. So that's very, very helpful to tie with your community. For example, we have the cultural events for the New Year, the Spring Festival, and we organize a cultural event that one. We have lunch together, we have permits and so on.
Food and music, great things to bring together.
Oh yeah, sure.
If people want to know more about international education here at MTSU, let's give them your contact information, telephone and email address so that they can find out more.
My office is located in Peck Hall 216, and my office number is 615-898-2998. And also, if you want to mail me something, my box is X015.
On campus mail.
Yes.
And then your email address is
rwang@mtsu.edu.
Great. Rong Wong, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.